My name's Neil. Really great to be with you this morning. What a morning. Spring is fully in the air, and I drove about 20 minutes through almond orchards, full bloom this morning. It was beautiful. But before that, there was rain, was there not? And there's only one reason that this past Thursday morning I walked out my front door at 6 in the morning with my running shoes on, in the rain, in the wind, and in the cold. And the reason was that just the day before, my neighbor said, hey, let's go running, and did not want to bail on him. Otherwise, I would have slept in. And that's the E in bless. The E in bless, it stands for eat, but it also stands for experience. The same neighbor prays for me. On my runs, he's prayed for me. That's the B, begin with prayer. My neighbor has listened to me as I share my stories, my joys, and my sorrows. That's the L of bless. My neighbor, last week, he dropped off 2 dozen huge eggs with double yolks inside. I didn't know that existed. I'd never seen a double yolk egg in my life. He had bought some for his family at the egg farm down the road, and he picked some up for us. That's the S. That's the first S in bless. And as we've put miles in, jogging down the trails once a week, twice a week, he wants to up it to 3 times a week. My neighbor has shared his stories with me of his life, the good and the hard, and we've wondered together what God is doing. That's the second S. I'm here to witness that I have been blessed by my neighbor. He lives right next door to me. And today is our final focus, our final week focusing on the BLESS acronym and Jesus' words to love our neighbors. And today, this week, it's a week of storytelling, it's a week of celebrating, and it's a week of prayer. In fact, in just a few minutes this morning in this service, we're going to have an open mic time. And if you've got a story to share, a little story of some way that you've blessed or been blessed the past few months, we want to hear it. We want to celebrate with you and pray for all the things that have been going on. So make a mental note. In a few minutes, we've got an open mic time. I would like to invite up Danielle to read our scripture for this morning. It's Matthew chapter 22, beginning in verse 37. Let's welcome Danielle to the stage. Thank you so much. So grab a Bible and open to Matthew chapter 22, beginning in verse 37.
Jesus replied, "You must love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul, and all your mind. This is the first and greatest commandment. A second is equally important. Love your neighbor as yourself. This is the word of the Lord."
Thanks be to God. Thank you, God. Let us pray. Jesus, thank you for saying these words that Danielle just read for us. Open our minds to understand them in a deeper way. Help us to walk in them and obey your command with joy, like never before. We pray in your name, Jesus. Amen. Love the Lord your God. Love the Lord your God. God created humans to thrive in a relationship with him, and he loves us tremendously. We often don't know that. We don't understand that. We might not agree with that. But the truth is that God loves each of us tremendously. And when you're loved, it's a natural response to love back. And Jesus says, love the Lord your God. And right alongside loving the Lord your God, Jesus sets loving our neighbor. And yes, our neighbors are not just the people who live next door who get us out of the house at 6 a.m., but because we often overlook the people who live right next to us, we're especially focusing on these neighbors, the people who live next to you, who work next to you, who sit at a school desk next to you. It doesn't matter where they're from. It doesn't matter what they like to do, how much noise they make, what color of skin they have. Jesus says, love your neighbor. Two commands entwined into one greatest commandment. It's as if loving God and loving our neighbor are entwined. As if loving my neighbor is an overflow of my love for God. Love for God fuels my love for neighbor. Which means not loving my neighbor somehow stifles the flow of God in my life. Cuts it off. And so as we wrap up our focus on bless, on loving our neighbor, I have a question for you. Here's the question. Is your vision... Let me get it. Where is it? There it is. Can you see it now? Is your vision of your neighbor clear? That's my question. When I was 14, I got my first set of glasses. I didn't know I needed glasses. I thought I was just fine until I was sitting next to the kid at the back of the classroom, and I asked him, hey, can you see what the teacher's writing on this board? Turns out he could. I couldn't. Next thing you know, I'm at the eye exam office, and they're asking me if option one is clearer or option two. Option one or option two. I can still remember putting on my first pair of glasses as a 14-year-old, and wow, did they make a difference. I was shocked that you could actually see the individual leaves on a tree across the street. I had slowly forgotten that that was a thing that somebody could do. It was beautiful. Everything was clear. And as I hear Jesus' words to love our neighbors, I wonder, how clear is our vision? Have we slowly forgotten how God sees our neighbors? Have we slowly forgotten that loving our neighbors is a thing that's even possible? Is your vision of your neighbor blurred? Bad experiences with our neighbors can blur our vision, can they not? Our own self-focus can blur our vision. Busyness can blur our vision to the point that we don't even see our neighbors at all. And when Jesus says that the greatest commandment, which means it's the greatest thing a human can do, the greatest commandment is to love God and love our neighbors entwined into one, it's as if he hands us a pair of glasses and says, put these on. Look at your neighbor through the lens of love, and you'll see them clearly. Well, there you are. Option one. Option two. Option one. Option two. Lens of indifference. Lens of love. Lens of irritation. Lens of love. Lens of intimidation. Lens of love. Is our vision of our neighbors clear? Jesus calls us to see our neighbors through a lens of love. More strongly, Jesus commands us to see our neighbors through a lens of love. And I can love the neighbor who goes running with me, but well, what am I loving the other neighbors that are around me? I was thinking about that this week. I was like, oh, I thought I was doing pretty good. But oh, maybe Jesus wants me to be praying a little bit more for the neighbors on the other side of my house. Let's see what he does. When we put on these Jesus brand glasses, we will see our neighbors differently. You'll see your neighbor as God sees your neighbor, clearly loved, full of value, very important. And you're going to start seeing people who need prayer. You're going to discover people are fascinating if you just ask them a few more questions about themselves. People who are worth spending time with and serving and sharing your stories of faith with. And just a side note, I saw some Barna research and that found out that 80% of Americans who are not Christians would be open to learning more about Christianity, maybe even open to coming to church if someone would just ask them. 80%. But they also found out that only 24% of Christians are open to sharing their faith and inviting their neighbor. Here we have 80% of people who are irreligious willing to give it a shot, but only 24% of religious people, of Christians, willing to invite them. Church, let's change that statistic. Okay, back to the main point. Jesus, he does want us to change that statistic, but Jesus hands us new glasses to see our neighbors clearly through the lens of love. So let's talk about love. There are four main Greek words for love, and they're in the Bible. The first one is storge. Storge is family love. Storge is the love that you have for your family just because. And even if you don't like them, you love them because you're family. Romans 12, verse 10, speaks of storge love. They speak of the church as family and says, be devoted to one another in love. Second word for love is eros. Eros is desiring love. It is erotic love. It's not just a sexual love, though. You can have eros for a beautiful, clear oak tree. It just looks wonderful. It's a love of desire. Proverbs 7, verse 18 says, come, let us drink our fill of eros until morning. And if you know the context, it's not a good thing in this context. Next form of love is phileo love. Phileo love is friendship love. This is a love of mutual respect, which blows my mind because in John chapter 15, when Jesus is sitting in the upper room with his disciples, he calls his disciples his phileoi, his friends. I actually, another side note, think that phileo love is the highest form of love. But this sermon is not about phileo love, this love of mutual respect, because what Jesus uses in Matthew 22 is agape love. Agape love is a choosing love. I choose to love you. Doesn't matter who you are or what you've done or how awesome you are, although I got to admit, you are pretty awesome. I choose to love you. Not connected to family relationship, not connected to attraction, not connected to friendship. John 3:16 says that God so loved the world. God so agape'd the world that Jesus says, agape your neighbors. See your neighbors as he sees them. I love because God agapes, and God sends me to agape my neighbor. And God has given me lenses to see people with agape. And I'm becoming the type of person who just naturally chooses to love my neighbor because he's doing it in me. He's changing me into this type of person. And Jesus invites us to choose to see the world this way. To see our neighbors as he sees our neighbors, to love our neighbors as he loves our neighbors. And when we see our neighbors through the lens of love, wow, it's beautiful. You know, the mayor of Boston is right. Michelle Wu recently said on live TV, she said, safety and community come from loving your neighbor as yourself. She quoted scripture. Safety and community, absolutely. And I'll also add that it's a deep, deep blessing to love your neighbors. Loving your neighbors is what makes your neighborhood so good to live in. I'm still in this house search that we've been in for like 6+ months. But on Thursday, I was talking to some neighbors of a place we were looking at. And, you know, we go knock on the door and say, hey, we're interested in buying the house next door. What do you like about the neighborhood? And this guy named Antonio, he just started telling me, well, this person, he just knew all the names of his neighbors. And he talked about how they get together in the elbow of the road right there regularly and hang out and do 4th of July and have meals and stuff like that. And he said, you know, I'm in real estate And I'm thinking about, you know, getting my dream house, but my wife and I just can't do it because we love our neighbors so much. It's what makes your neighborhood wonderful. Wow. So here's a simple prayer for us to live like Jesus. It's a very simple prayer. We just pray, Holy Spirit, help me to see my neighbors clearly like you see them. It's not like we have to add to our to-do list. We have to work really hard. We have to stress ourselves or blow past our boundaries. We've talked about all these things over the past month and a half. It just starts with prayer. Holy Spirit, would you help me to see my neighbors as you see them? And he will. So in just a moment, we're going to open our mic up and hear some stories of what God's been doing in you. And we're going to celebrate together. But I would like to read for you what I preached the first Sunday we started our Blessed Focus. This is what I said to open up the entire series. And I printed it off right here. Let me read to you. I said, we're starting a new focus for our church. And I wonder what the Holy Spirit will do in you. The Holy Spirit is God's presence on earth now, and he is responsible for those aha moments, those life-changing moments, those small or large kairos moments that free us from sin, that free us from things that bind us down or distract us, and free us for a deep life with God. I wonder what he will do in these next few months. That sounds like me, right? I believe and trust that the Spirit is going to lead us. And what is more important than any application I give in a sermon or any points that are made in the book that we read together, what is more important than any of that is what the Holy Spirit does through the scriptures we are focusing on. So we're starting a focus called Bless. It's all about Jesus' command to love our neighbors. The staff and the leadership council have been praying about this and planning it since October. And we believe this is God's next step for our church as a whole. And yet more important than the staff's points, more important than any of my sermon points, is what the Holy Spirit is going to do in each of us. I want to state that right at the beginning. And each of us are going through different things in different parts of our journey as disciples of Jesus. Some of us are just exploring what church and Jesus is all about. The Holy Spirit has something for you, I said. Some of us are overwhelmed with the chaos of life and just can't even add one more thing to our mental load. The Holy Spirit will do something in you. Some of us are going through treatment for debilitating diseases like cancer. The Holy Spirit will be speaking to you also. And finally, some of us are eager and passionate to see God work, and we've spent time and our resources, and we're chanting, let's go! And for you as well, the Holy Spirit will be at work. We are a church diverse and united around Jesus and filled with the Holy Spirit. He works in unique ways that are both gentle and immense. And as we start our Blessed Focus, I wonder what the Holy Spirit will do in each of us. Amen. So we'd love to open up the mic and hear some gentle or immense stories, some small, tiny stories like, you know what, I prayed for my neighbor for the first time, or some big stories. Brent and Rachel are going to come grab some mics, and if you have a story you want to share, just raise your hand and hold the mic up close, and we're just going to celebrate with you. What a beautiful life to see our neighbors through the lens of love that Jesus hands us these glasses and says, love your neighbors. Wow, how beautiful. My prayer is that we don't stop just because we're not going to put any more colored circles on the walls. But that my prayer, the staff's prayer, the leadership's council prayer is that we as a whole church continue to live into this best lifestyle and love people. You know, next Sunday, we have a new church focus. We're calling it the Kingdom of Jesus. And we're following different stories from the Gospels about who Jesus is and the lifestyle of his kingdom. And if people come because we've invited our neighbors, if people come because they've received a blessed bag, we're going to tell you about that in just a minute. This is the perfect time to come to our church and consider, what is it? Who is this Jesus that creates such a beautiful world, whose kingdom is so magnificent? So I'm praying for all the people who are coming to our church in the next few weeks as we turn this new focus on. Who will you invite to come and experience the kingdom of Jesus with us? Worship team, come on up. Let me pray for us as they do. Jesus, thank you. Without you and your words and your life and your spirit, where would we be? Thank you so much for what you're doing in us. I pray in your name, Jesus. Amen.